You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June the 12th, 2020, the statement from the president. He says it's very simple. We're not going to let Seattle be occupied by anarchists. If we have to go in, we're going to go in. The governor's either going to do it, let the governor do it. He's got great National Guard troops, and he can do it. But one way or the other, it's going to get done. Anarchists are not going to occupy a major portion of a great city. And in Seattle, a six-block area now designated a no-cop zone, and it has a new name. As you enter the area, you'll find signs saying, leaving the USA, and now entering CHAZ, Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. That's their new name for that area. I don't know if they're going to apply to the UN for membership. They're supposedly trying to figure out how they're going to keep everything going in their little area by themselves. And so far, no one's cut off the water or the power. And they're already in the process of planting gardens to grow their own fruits and vegetables. It's funny, and yet it's not. Because if it requires force to go in and move those folks out and take over that part of Seattle again, yes, you're going to see more violence. And it all started when the police abandoned the precinct, as they did in Minneapolis. Remember that? And not protesters, but rioters stormed the headquarters, burning it. This time, police took what they considered valuable out of it and left the building. And who ordered that? The police chief says it was not my decision. The Seattle mayor says, I didn't order it. No one wants to take that responsibility at this point. But the Seattle mayor is taking the attitude, this is just going to be a kind of like a big block party, not a big deal, maybe a summer of love. Yeah, but it could also be a time of forced love. In fact, the Seattle police chief says, we are hearing reports of numerous rapes, robberies, all sorts of violent acts occurring in that precinct, and no one's really calling 911, and if they do, it could be three times as long for us to get to them, assuming we can, and without any violence. New York Times, signing on fully with the left as usual, a piece publishing describing the CHAZ in Seattle, Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, as a homeland for racial justice. A homeland for racial justice. And yet, Black Lives Matter protesters are saying that the Autonomous Zone has hijacked their message. And they're upset. Where's the story about George Floyd? You've lost the story of what we're trying to do. You take this over. You declare yourself an independent state, nation, however you want to do it. You're not doing anything that we were trying to do with the George Floyd death. In fact, one of the women complaining about it is from the city council, stating, you have hijacked this. You've taken away the meaning. Others shouting her down. And of course, we continue to destroy the history of this nation by whatever means possible. If you don't like it, destroy it. And a Republican-led Senate Armed Services Committee voted to pass an amendment from Senator Elizabeth Warren to rename several U.S. military bases who have been named after Confederate generals. She says the names of the military bases are, quote, a tribute to white supremacy. The U.S. Army under President Obama had described the use of Confederate names as at the bases as a gesture of reconciliation, not division. That was Obama's take at the time. Republican Senator Josh Hawley said he's going to offer an amendment to not take those names from the bases. Well, it's decided the city of Jacksonville, Florida, will host the Republican National Committee and its convention. Because Charlotte, North Carolina said, well, because of COVID, you could have your convention here if you keep it down to maybe 150 people attending. That was never going to work. So the folks of Charlotte, North Carolina, probably already hard-pressed to have money in their pockets because of COVID-19 that shut down, are now not going to have that Republican National Convention. We could have dumped $200 million into their economy. Who are you going to blame for that one? Who are you going to blame? Jacksonville, Florida, big smiles. We welcome you. Come on in.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Had me, girl, taught me those things a young man should know.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We're not going to let this happen in Seattle. If we have to go in, we're going to go in. The governor's either going to do it. Let the governor do it. He's got great National Guard troops. He can do it. But one way or the other, it's going to get done. These people are not going to occupy a major portion of a great city.
Again, those remarks from President Trump in an interview he did with Fox News, saying we cannot allow anarchists to take control of a part of a city as they have done in Seattle, taking over a six-block area that they now declare as a basic area that they control only, and police are not allowed. No police allowed in their description of Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, CHAZ. And it all started when a decision was made for police to leave and yield a district precinct headquarters. They gathered up what they considered vital from the facility and left. And who made the decision that that would happen? The Seattle police chief has stated, it was not my decision. In fact, the police chief said, you fought for days to protect this precinct. I asked you to stand on that line day in and day out, to be pelted with projectiles, to be screamed at, threatened, and in some cases, hurt. Then to have a change of course and nearly 2 weeks in, it seems like an insult to you and our community. That's what the police chief is reporting. And 25 officers were injured in those protests. She says she didn't do it. And the mayor's denying, no, I didn't order it to happen. But the mayor is fine, just more than happy to have CHAZ established by these anarchists who want to take control. And the first thing they did was Well, what do you know? They decided we need borders, just like the U.S. needs border. And we need walls to keep people from just coming and going without us checking and knowing who they are. They put up barricades. They did that. And then those who would be against guns, they'd say, we need guns in Chaz. So leftists, again, believe it or not, leftists stepped forward and started bringing in guns. But no cops allowed. And yet the police chief is reporting, we're hearing reports of rapes, robberies, assaults, and we can't do much about it right now. But if we get a 911 call, we'll go in. It may take longer to get there. And several businesses are already reporting they're being extorted. You don't want your business to suddenly go up in flames overnight, do you? Not here in Chaz. Well, we'll help protect it for a little, you know, a little green, maybe a lot of green. President Trump made it clear that if we have to go in and tear it apart, if the mayor doesn't do it, the governor doesn't do it, I'm willing to do it. So the Seattle mayor, in an interview with Chris Cuomo, he was asking, why do you, well, before I get to that, she was basically talking about why we ever decided to pull out anyway. Listen to this decision.
We saw that it was a point of conflict night after night between the police department and protesters. And we wanted to de-escalate that. And what we decided was the best way to do that was reopen the streets. And that itself ended up with some ramifications for the precinct to remove anything that was valuable out of that building. But we will make sure that all of Seattle is safe. We take public safety seriously.
No, you're not. You just said that we decided to abandon. We knew it was getting confrontational, so to de-escalate, we just left. We just left. As Mayor Fry had ordered his department to do in Minneapolis. And they torched and burned that precinct headquarters. But in Seattle, we're a little bit more intellectual, so we're just going to form our nation in here, Chaz. And to listen to the mayor of Seattle, this is not a big deal. This is kind of, you know, this is just some fun time.
We've got four blocks in Seattle that you just saw pictures of that is more like a block party atmosphere. It's not an armed takeover. It's not a military junta. We will make sure that we can restore this, but we have block parties and the like in this part of Seattle all the time. It's known for that. So I think the president, number one, there is no threat right now to the public, and we're taking that very seriously. We're meeting with businesses and residents. But what the president threatened is illegal and unconstitutional. And the fact that he can think he can just tweet that and not have ramifications is just wrong.
So you don't think it's illegal for some citizens of your city to just take over an area and declare it a cop-free zone and we're in charge? You don't think that's illegal, do you, Mayor? And she's directly contradicting her police chief as she's saying it's all peaceful, all like kind of a block party. Yeah, the pictures that we're seeing are all nice and make good. Except for sometimes they get pictures of these, quote, armed guards inside there patrolling. But the police chief is saying, I need to work on a plan to reopen this precinct. We know they're getting emergency calls or rapes, robberies, and so forth occurring in the area that we can't get to. I tend to believe the police chief more than the mayor. But again, President Trump says, Seattle, you need to get tough. You need to have a hard line stance. Please listen.
If there were more toughness, you wouldn't have the kind of devastation that you had in Minneapolis and in Seattle. I mean, let's see what's going on in Seattle. But I will tell you, if they don't straighten that situation out, we're going to straighten it out.
So that brings me back to what I was talking about a moment ago. The president saying, if you don't straighten it out, we will straighten it out. And, of course, she says, as you heard her say, he's talking things that are illegal and unconstitutional. No, nope, he's not talking anything unconstitutional at that point. Certainly not illegal. Mayor Durkin, you're being not only an apologist for these leftists and what they've done, you're being an enabler. What if they decide tomorrow, we don't want just six blocks, we need another 20 blocks. We want to grow bigger. What are you going to do then? But Chris Cuomo thought that's a good point to hit her on, and Trump talking tough and trying to sound forceful and talking about using more force to get things done. Mayor Durkin, why do you think Trump talks that way?
I think it shows a complete lack of understanding of why people are in the street. They're in the street fighting a system of domination, and he doesn't understand that. I think he says dominate because he is totally does not understand what is happening in America, and he is desperately trying to start the old fights and the old divisions that put him in power in the first place.
How long do you think Seattle in those few blocks looks like this?
I don't know. We could have a summer of love.
A summer of love. Well, you know what? Let's plan a vacation, go up to Seattle. I've often wanted to go. I really want to go now. I want to see the new nation and state of Chaz. I want to go in there. Let's all go in there. Let's overcrowd that area until, well, then we may have homeless sleeping on the streets unless we kick people that have homes and businesses out. One of the Democrat Party activists, calling himself also a journalist, Joe Weiser from that Seattle area, he's been kind of doing some going live with his video cam and his Facebook live stream, documenting life inside the area. And he was asked at one point, is anyone allowed to broadcast from inside the zone? And he said, yeah, you'd be admitted to Chaz as long as you don't have a, quote, negative bias and you portray the peacefulness. In other words, if you show any of the ugliness that might be happening or talk to anyone who's saying they've been extorted or assaulted, you're not going to be allowed to stay in here. But as long as you're coming in, not coming in with a bias that would lead anyone to feel as though what's happening here is anything other than peaceful. He went on to say, I'm not one to dictate or gatekeep. He is. I'm just one person, but again, with some of the more right-wing owned Sinclair media out there, you might get some pushback. And again, he's showing a peaceful scene, people strolling about the graffiti-tagged streets, playing music, reading poetry, singing, chanting, even visited what they're labeling now as a farm, planted in a local grassy patch. They've already put in kale and lettuce and flowers. They're going to support themselves and grow their own crops, I guess. What do you think? Other activists have been seen on other live streams using force to patrol Chaz. But again, according to the mayor, this is all peaceful. It's like a block party. It's going to be a block party until it turns around and bites you in the arse. You know, yesterday, President Trump was in Dallas outlining a 4-point plan to address disparities, as he declared. He was talking with pastors, law enforcement officials, small business owners about plans to build safety, opportunity, and dignity. He said the new model would call for increasing access to capital for small business owners, especially in minority communities, confronting racial disparities, an executive order encouraging police departments to meet professional standards regarding force and de-escalation tactics, a pilot program for social workers to work with police departments, a push for Congress to enact school choice, which would mean that a lot of kids in poor schools and living in minority neighborhoods would have a chance to go to a better school and improve their lives. All of that to the benefit of the minority communities. And again, pointing out we're not going to let police run rampant as what we saw take place in Minneapolis. I did not see that covered on any of the mainstream media. It might have been there. I didn't try to watch all of them, but I just didn't see any of them bothering to report on Trump and his law and order theme. Although run stories and make fun of him elsewhere, but here he is trying to lay out and be a leader, not talking about using force, just say, here's what we need to do to help all communities. And they didn't bother covering it. But what they did jump in on, a social media post he put out last night, warning the radical left wants to take away guns. That was what he put in his tweet. Of course, he's been warning for a long time, as most of us have, the leftists will come for your guns if they get control of more power. Yeah, and by the way, just dawned on me. For those who don't think they will take away your guns or do anything like that, when keep in mind that even Hillary Clinton, when she was running for office, questioned about the Second Amendment, saying, well, you know, I don't think it's all that some people think it is. It's not really, you know, It's in the Constitution, Hillary, the Second Amendment. And now you don't think it's worded right or something. But on top of that, I told you yesterday how Nickelodeon is changing some of their cartoons, specifically Elmer Fudd, always hunting for that Wacky Wabbit, trying to get Bugs Bunny. Elmer Fudd, dressed in his red dressing cap and red hunting jacket and coat, I should say, carrying his shotgun. They're going to continue running Elmer Fudd, but they're redoing it. They've already taken away Elmer Fudd's gun. They took his gun away and gave him something like a scythe that you would use to cut down tall grass, or maybe be used by jihadists to chop off heads. You don't think they want to come for your guns? If they're going to take a gun from Elmer Fudd, give me a... All right, Larry. All right, maybe we're going too far. Hey, listen, I've got some comments on Facebook I want to share with you. Some people like this program, and some absolutely call me out and fall short of the words that we're going to put on the air. I'm not going to read all of them, but I'll do that. And also that incident in Buffalo, a good friend of mine saying, that's been discredited, that's a lie, lie, lie. He's a good friend. We obviously have a difference, an agreement on some things. And he's a decent poker player, but that's where I'll probably get even with him for sure. I'll read some of those comments coming up after this next break.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
I've been holding it so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You do know during the program while we're on the air, you can post comments at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. And we try to read them on the air. I don't always have time, but I try. But they're there for others to see as well. And those who end up listening to the program later on a podcast, then sometimes they add comments. And I try to catch up on some of those as well. Here's some coming in over the last couple of days. Pat, talking about what we were referring earlier today is about renaming military bases, getting rid of Confederate names for them. Pat saying, I'm totally fed up with rewriting our history. Why are history books written? Time to stop erasing our past, begin looking for change. America was built by everyone, black, white. Helen saying, this is all going way overboard, too far out. And Jerry saying, in his opinion, any pastor or minister of any kind with whatever color skin who plans on voting Democrat in 2020, needs to have the license to preach revoked. Jerry, I can't endorse that. I mean, they're still entitled to First Amendment right, and their congregation will decide if they want to keep them or not. And again, let me see, another comment coming in. Michael said, I'm done with you, Larry. You've become way too right for me. You should be very proud of your fine career that you gave St. Louis in television journalism. As a radio host, your personal viewpoints have come out. Yeah, Michael, that's the point of this program. And there's something I don't agree with. I wish you luck. He said luck. I had to look twice. Was it an L or was it an S? I wish you luck. And I added, Michael, when I was an anchor, I still had views, but I never let them be expressed with and interfere with factual covering. But this is my program, and now I am commenting. And I'm not as far right as you might think if you listen. I got to add some balance. Shouldn't I add some balance for my own side? Bill writing in. Great show as always, Larry. I like how you speak the truth, even though it does not fit other media's bias agenda. Always refreshing to know listeners can come to your show and hear facts in lieu of scripted material leads listeners amiss. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. And then, of course, we had the story we highlighted yesterday and put up on Larry Connors USA Facebook about the man in Buffalo, New York, that you saw shoved down by police officers, stumbling back, falling and hitting his head, and immediately blood started coming out. Some have been saying that's fake. I'm not saying that. By the way, some have even claimed the George Floyd video is fake. You got to stop that. You got to stop that. That was not a fake incident. And I cannot accept or give you a pass on that. Out of this incident the other day out of Buffalo, New York, the guy by the name of Gugino apparently was using his phone, supposedly, to capture his scanner and get the signature of police radios, and that's why they were moving him back. The video will show it. You can look at it or not. Helen says, it was him that was wrong. Don't blame the police. He knew better than what he was doing. But Scott, who is a lawyer, said the scanning has already been fact-checked multiple times, complete BS. I responded to Scott, we identified the source to make it clear that the story came from a conservative outlet, and most rejecting the story are liberal outlets. But this guy's history is clear and documented by his own social media. If you don't accept the source when you watch his actions, what was he trying to do? If you haven't seen the video, go to Larry Connors USA Facebook, and you'll see that. Thanks, Scott, for commenting. I'll look forward to getting money from you on the poker table next time around. Taking a break, coming back with an expert on criminal justice in Seattle. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Let me give you a heads up. Before we wrap this hour, we're going to ease up a little bit. There have been a lot of heavy stuff throughout this week. We're going to wrap up today with some remarks by former President Reagan. Actually, some jokes he told about the Soviet Union. I think you'll end up smiling when we finish, so stick around for that. Joining us now, Giancarlo Canaparo. And I'm sorry, Giancarlo, that I started to blow the name again. I know better. He's with the Heritage Foundation's Edwin Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. Glad to have you on board again, sir.
Thanks for having me.
So I was looking at a piece that you originally, I think, was in the Daily Signal about the takeover, the Seattle occupiers, as you described, dangerous and unconstitutional demands. Let me let you have the floor for a moment to give a setup on that.
Sure. So as you probably know, Seattle protesters, rioters, what have you, have taken over several blocks surrounding the Seattle Police Department's East Precinct, which is in a neighborhood called Capitol Hill. And they were able to do that because the police abandoned the precinct building and pulled out of the neighborhood. And so they've taken over. They've been there for about a week now. And they have effective control over the neighborhood. And they published a list of demands. And the demands include things like defunding the police, replacing them with
By the way, let me stop you. Defunding the police 100%. Isn't that what they stated?
That's right. This is not a reform proposal. This is get rid of the police 100%, including pensions for retired police officers, and replacing them with neighborhood vigilantes. They want to abolish the courts, abolish imprisonment, They want to staff the 911 line with mental health experts, establish citywide rent control, ban eviction, socialized medicine, grant citizenship to illegal aliens. I mean, the list goes on. It's a 5 or 6 page document of demands. Of course, it's not clear what the rest of us get if we give into their demand, but they've got them.
Yeah, and here's the other thing about it, and I pointed out previously in today's program, I think this hour and the last hour, these leftist progressives who are all about, we don't need borders, we don't need barriers and walls to keep people from coming and going, and we don't want guns. They've had armed people inside their CHAZ, as they call it, their Capitol Hill Autonomous Group, and at the area, and also putting up barricades, checking people coming and going. The first thing they did was outline their borders.
Right, and this has caused a problem for public safety. The Seattle chief of police today said, or yesterday said, that emergency calls to police from that neighborhood have gone up by triple.
Yep.
And that they are not able to effectively respond to calls for violent crimes, including rapes and robberies.
And, you know, she has pointed out, she was talking to her officers the other day saying, you know, I feel bad about us leaving the police precinct headquarters. It was not my decision. And she was thankful for the officers. Had something like 24 of them have been hurt while they were defending that area. And then they just walked away from it. She said, I was encouraging you to get out there and stand the line. You were spit on, had things thrown at you. And now we're just going to give it up. But it wasn't my decision. And yet the mayor, Durkin, said, I didn't make the decision. Who the hell made the decision?
Well, this is the problem with places like Seattle. Most people will read that list of demands and think, wow, this is a list of nonsense. It will never come to pass. But in a place like Seattle, every single one of the leaders in that city, the elected leaders in that city, every city council member and the mayor, are at least supportive, giving lip service to these protesters, and some of them even march with them. One of the city council members participated in the occupation of the city hall and is a self-avowed socialist who has called for an end to the oppressive capitalist regime. So there's real political will here. I mean, you can't look at these demands and just wave your hand at them and say, oh, it's not a problem, it's nonsense.
Well,
there's political power here.
You also had a member of the city council shout out and claim that you guys, by establishing CHAZ and all this, you've hijacked the Black Lives Movement. You're not accomplishing what we want. The George Floyd story has been lost. In other words, you destroyed the very purpose we were originally trying to achieve.
Right. And the problem with a lot of these demands, too, is that many of them are unconstitutional. So even if there's political support for them among Seattle's elected leaders, the Constitution's going to bar a lot of these if they ever get enacted. But that brings up a problem in its own right. We can't just be confident and put our trust in the Constitution and say, oh, it's not a problem, the Constitution stops these, because the protesters are going to figure that out, too. And, you know, when they do, the next target is the Constitution itself, because this sort of radical, anarcho-communist worldview is not compatible with a Constitution that guarantees individual liberty.
Two things here. First of all, they will say, well, this country was founded on revolution, as if the Boston Tea Party, years before the Declaration of Independence and then the Revolutionary War, were an example, and they could do the same thing.
Well, the country was not founded on revolution. The country was founded on a set of ideas, a set of ideals enshrined in the Declaration of Independence that all men are, and women are endowed with individual liberty. And revolution was the pathway to enshrine those liberties. But this is not the same kind of revolution.
No.
The American Revolution. Oh, go ahead.
No, sir. I stepped on you. Go ahead, sir.
Well, the American Revolution had a set of ideals, and it targeted a government that denied its people their individual rights. This is a rebellion against private property, against individuals. It's in a rebellion for no particular ideal.
But Giancarlo, you're not supposed to have private property. Come on, you got a nice car. You're not supposed to have it. You got nice things in your house. I should have it because you have white heritage privilege.
Right, and that's just a fundamental problem with their worldview. If you have a system like that, The truth is that nobody has liberty in a system like that.
Yeah, the only
nobody
time
can have liberty.
Yeah, the only time
like
I hear them bringing up the word, the C word, Constitution, is when they suddenly realize, oh, we can use it for our benefit. For instance, the mayor was asked on CNN last night by Chris Cuomo, "What do you make of Trump always being so?" Talking about being forceful and so forth. And she said, well, he's talking about things that would be, you know, if the governor doesn't take care of it and move them out, the mayor doesn't, the governor doesn't. President Trump said, then we will go in and do it. And she said, well, that'd be unconstitutional and illegal. I think she's been illegal, let it happen. And then she wants to say it'd be unconstitutional for the federal government to take back control of a city that was taken over by anarchists.
Well, as a matter of fact, she's wrong. She's wrong for several reasons. The irony of saying that sending in the National Guard would be unconstitutional when you have a situation here where the government has in effect been suspended and abandoned a particular part of the city is, you know, the irony there is rich. But there are several laws, one of them being the Insurrection Act, which
right.
has been used dozens of times, which allows the president to send in the National Guard. In cases where the government has been
deposed or it can't react. And it's not a violation of Posse Comitatus to do that at that time.
Right.
You might explain exactly what that involves, by the way.
Sure. So in a situation where there has been some sort of insurrection, be they violent protests or otherwise a suspension of the government's ability to maintain the peace and secure liberty, the president may send in the military to put that down. And that law has been used many times. It was last used by George H.W. Bush during the 1992 Los Angeles riots. The point being that in a country where individual liberty and constitutional rights are valued and protected, it is not acceptable for a state government to simply abdicate its role in protecting the rights of its citizens.
And again, how does that play against those fearing the Posse Comitatus, the rule that would be violated, they think?
I don't see a problem there. This law has been on the books for ages. And remember, shortly after George Washington took office, he led the army against the Whiskey Rebellion. So, and the founding fathers, who were all still there at the time, had no problem with that. So clearly, the contemplation that the government can step in and the military can step in and put down violent rebellions is part of our history and was anticipated by the founding fathers.
And in fact, the Insurrection Act was used extensively during the Civil Rights period, one, to get rid of the Klan and to make sure children could go to the school and not be kept out, and to break the segregation hold.
Right, that's right.
I'm looking at, real quick, one 20, 30-second answer from you, if you can. Where do you think we're going from Seattle at this point?
You know, it's strange to see. I'm very concerned that the state, or at least the local government, seems to be completely unwilling to deal with this situation. And to the extent that the Seattle police chief is right that people are suffering here, and the police are unable or unwilling to comply, that's simply not acceptable.
Not a good picture at all.
Right.
I want to thank you, Giancarlo Canaparo, for joining us again. I truly appreciate your time, sir.
My pleasure.
You bet we'll do it again. Yep. Unacceptable. Truly. Some comments, some fun from Ronald Reagan when we continue.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Everybody in
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, of course, President Trump now setting the Republican National Convention will be held in Jacksonville, Florida, because Charlotte, North Carolina just couldn't get its act together and say, yeah, you can have your convention, but we're so worried about COVID, you can't have more than 150 people. That's a loss of revenue for that region that they sorely need. And he's also planning a speech in Tulsa, going back on the campaign trail later this month. Democrats and the media uniting to declare the president plans for the speech in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Jacksonville, Florida, and his convention all racist, simply because of the locations chosen, the dates on the calendar. Let me break it down for you. The media has pounced on the fact that the nomination, the convention, in August will coincide with the 60th anniversary of the KKK attack on black activists in the Jacksonville, Florida area. It was a terrible event known as Axe Handle Saturday, but that was the way the convention was set up. But he's also announced this event in Tulsa, Oklahoma on June 19th. Juneteenth is often referred to in the minority community, Juneteenth, as a time that many African-American communities observed the anniversary of the day freed slaves in Texas were read the Emancipation Proclamation. And they're saying holding a rally in Tulsa on that day is absolutely racist, not only because of that, but that was the date of the Tulsa race riots in 1921. Again, a terrible point in our American history. Between May 31st and June 1, actually, is when they took place, not June 19th nor Juneteenth, but they think it's close enough they can roll it all in and say it's racist. There is no direct connection between his speech and the anniversary of the riots that happened 3 weeks earlier. So you shouldn't be surprised that the mainstream media again talks about Trump is racist. They look for any way they can, even if they have to massage the facts a little bit. When I first saw that, I thought, that's not a good idea to hold that on Juneteenth. I'd agree with that, but I don't know if anyone paid any attention to it. Well, in fact, it's Juneteenth is not the date of the race issue in Tulsa when it went down. But it's Trump speaking. It's got to be racist. All right, we've had a heavy week with these things going on. I decided today, let's go back in time to President Reagan and have some fun. So we pulled a clip we want to share with you and smile, even laugh out loud if you like. Here we go.
I've been collecting stories that are told in the Soviet Union by their people among themselves, which reveal they've got a great sense of humor, but they've also got a pretty cynical attitude toward their system. And I told this one, Bill, you'll have to hear it again. I told it in the car. I didn't tell this one to Gorbachev. You know, there's a 10-year delay in the Soviet Union of delivery of an automobile. And only one out of seven families in the Soviet Union own automobiles. There's a 10-year wait. And you go through quite a process when you're ready to buy, and then you put up the money in advance. And this happened to a fella, and this is their story that they tell, this joke. That this man, he laid down his money, and then the fella, that was in charge, said to him, okay, come back in 10 years and get your car. And he said, morning or afternoon? And the fellow behind the counter said, well, 10 years from now, what difference does it make? And he said, well, the plumber's coming in the morning. I just want to, oh, I can't resist. I'm supposed to quit right here. But, oh, yes. But in view of the five things that I just said, I don't know whether you know it or not, but I have a new hobby. I am collecting stories that I can actually prove are told among the Russian people. They make them up themselves, they tell them between themselves, reveals they got a great sense of humor, and they've also got a little cynical attitude about things in their country. And one of these stories, the one I'm going to tell you, I told to General Secretary Gorbachev. And he laughed. The story was an American and a Russian arguing about their two countries. And the American said, look, in my country, I can walk into the Oval Office, I can pound the president's desk and say, Mr. President, I don't like the way you're running our country. And the Russian said, I can do that. The American said, you can? He says, yes. I can go into the Kremlin, to the General Secretary's office, pound his desk and say, Mr. General Secretary, I don't like the way President Reagan's running his country.
I love it. You know, wanted to leave you with a little smile and a laugh. It's been a rough couple of weeks, so thought we'd put a cap on that for you today like that. You know, believe it or not, it may not appear sometimes, but I put a lot of effort and work into this program, and Quentin helps me pull it all together. We appreciate you spreading the word to others that's on the air. I truly do. Well, of course, we're into the weekend now, and we won't be back until Monday, but you can go ahead and mark your calendar right now. Look ahead to Monday, and right on there, starting at 11 a.m., Larry Connors USA on Freedom KXEN 1010. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.